We'll take a closer look at the man who's had corporations looking over their shoulders for more than half a century. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Bridgestone is bowing out of a bidding war with legendary activist investor Carl Icahn. The Japanese tire company was trying to buy Pep Boys, the auto parts and auto repair chain, but Icahn topped Bridgestone's latest offer. The new deal values Pep Boys at more than $1 billion and is the latest in a long, long, long string of acquisitions for Icahn. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams now joins me from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So first about this deal, why so much love for Manny Moe and Jack, the Pep Boys icons? The bidding war has gone on since October.
Well, other than that very fun name, it's got a network of 800 locations across the country. Now, for Bridgestone, that would have made a nice set of outlets to pair with its own service centers. And Icahn now wants it to combine with his own Auto Plus chain, which he acquired earlier this year. All of this a nod to the aging fleet of U.S. cars, which need a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. Now, Carl Icahn has a reputation as an activist investor when people are being nice, or corporate raider in less adoring terms. But this deal isn't going down the way some of his deals have gone down in the past.
Right. He got that reputation as a corporate raider for quietly buying up shares in major corporations, then staging these dramatic boardroom takeovers. You might remember the long-forgotten TWA, which was sliced and diced to oblivion, and that's what he was known for. Now he's facing a lot less pushback in the boardroom.
All right. Why is that?
Mainly because he seems to be moving towards owning these companies in the Warren Buffett Berkshire Hathaway style, and he's developing his own Icahn Enterprises into more of a diversified holding company.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you. Now, I'll never forget my guidance counselor telling me the results of my aptitude test, suggesting I should study to become a petroleum engineer. I would have been out of work in the early 1980s when I graduated college, when crude prices collapsed, and I would have been out of work now given these energy prices. But what do the data tell us about the best jobs as we get into this new year? We've been talking about the year to come with our reporters on the beat. Our Mitchell Hartman covers employment and labor market. And let's connect to him in Portland, Oregon now. Morning, Mitchell.
Hi, David.
All right. So what is this great field for all of us? Nanotechnology?
Oh, no, David. That's a small field. It's healthcare. And it's the one we've been hearing about for years. But really, the trend seems to have arrived. Baby boomers are retiring and they need healthcare. There's more people insured under Obamacare. They need care as well. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out something called the Employment Projections Report. It goes out 10 years. They just updated their predictions to the year 2024. Healthcare and social service jobs, they grow the fastest over that time, become more than 13% of the entire workforce. This sector overtakes professional and business services and all government jobs by 2024. It's going to be fully one in four of all the new jobs added in the next decade.
But which jobs exactly? I mean, it may not be the best time to become a doctor, per se.
Well, so for this, I went to Susan Martindale. She's a senior manager with the job recruiting and search site Simply Hired. So they crunched all the jobs offered this year nationwide on their platform, and they ranked them.
The jobs that showed the most growth, the top six of them are all in healthcare. And in fact, about half of the top 20 jobs that showed a lot of growth were in the healthcare industry.
These jobs, it's topped by pharmacy technician, operating room technician, registered and licensed practical nurse, then physical therapist, physician's assistant. All those occupations grew in double digits this year.
Now, you're not going to just fall into these new healthcare jobs. I mean, they sound like they require specialized training.
Looking at both the results from Simply Hired and also the government, these coming jobs in healthcare pretty much do run the gamut. You know, in hospitals and nursing homes, you are going to need a lot of basic caregivers. You need cleaning people for older patients as well.
So we have some very highly educated, highly skilled jobs like surgeons have shown some growth this year. But you also see jobs like medical assistants or personal care aides that you can get with a high school diploma and maybe a little bit of a certification.
However, I will say, you know, this lower end of the skill scale in healthcare, it's also much lower wage scale. Jobs for people with just a high school diploma that used to pay pretty well, many of those jobs, you know, don't pay so well, just around $20,000 to $30,000 a year.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you for this.
You're welcome, David.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. U.S. Bank and Wells Fargo are competitors, but now they're taking their rivalry outside to the rooftops of Minneapolis, to be precise. You see, U.S. Bank owns the naming rights to a new Minnesota Vikings football stadium under construction there, and the Vikings are suing Wells Fargo over some big rooftop signs the team says are ambushing U.S. Bank's marketing space. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
At the 2018 Super Bowl in Minneapolis, U.S. Bank's name will be prominently displayed in aerial camera shots of the Vikings stadium. That's one of the big returns the bank will get from its naming rights deal, according to sports marketing consultant E.J. Narcisse.
U.S. Bank has paid quite a bit of money to own that exclusivity.
But Wells Fargo has two new buildings near the U.S. Bank Stadium, and the Vikings say that the mounted, illuminated rooftop signs Wells Fargo is installing will, quote, permanently photobomb the U.S. Bank Stadium's image. Narcisse says it's ambush marketing.
And ambushing has been going on forever.
The Chicago Cubs have faced similar dust-ups over rooftop signs near Wrigley Field. Sports marketing expert Joe Favorito says as more people move back to cities, we could see more incidents of this sort.
It's certainly something that is going to come up as other arenas and other stadia are built in highly trafficked areas.
Wells Fargo says it will vigorously defend itself in federal court. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And there's word today that a Swiss bank has reached the outlines of a settlement with U.S. authorities after allegations it helped wealthy U.S. clients evade taxes. Bank Julius Baer has now set aside $547 million for possible penalties. The bank says it expects to stay profitable this year and next. Julius Baer, when you go to its website, describes itself as the international reference in private banking based on a solid Swiss heritage, unquote. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.